And Lisa Barnett with us. We're going to do a little Akashic Records exercise in a moment, and we're going to take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Lisa Barnett with us. Lisa, how are we going to do this Akashic Records exercise? How do you want to start? Hello, where is Lisa? We need Lisa back. There you go, Lisa. How do you want to do this exercise?
Oh, well, so I just do it kind of almost like a little guided meditation.
All right, let's go for it, Lisa.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
All right. So, you know, if people can sit back and close their eyes, basically what I like to just do is to start with a nice deep breath. Accessing our Akashic Records is a little bit of a, like I said, practice and process, but this will help people get a little bit of an experience or a little feeling if people are energetically sensitive. So breathing into your hearts and just inviting your spirits all the way down into your physical bodies. We ask the divine lords of unconditional love to help us center fully in this moment as we create this sacred space. Please wrap us in your love and protection and allow us to travel to the highest realms of the Akasha available to us today. Please help as we lay our multidimensional hearts open to divine love and release all resistance. Lords of the Akashic Record, please guide us to the deepest truth we can access now. Support us in healing and releasing that which no longer serves on our true path. We give great thanks for your divine love and support on this journey.
All right, what happens if someone who is evil tries to trick those spirits at that Akashic Record level? Can they do that? Could they pull that off?
Well, that's an interesting question, George. I don't really know. I haven't bumped into that per se. What I do notice is that when people kind of fall off a spiritual path, they tend to, they get trapped in a lot of their own energies. And mm-hmm. So what I see is they get kind of stuck in their own weird circles. And sometimes that appears as getting a little bit crazy. They end up talking too much to negative or dark energies.
Yes.
And, you know, it tends to backfire on us is what I've noticed.
And, well, there's no question that if they surround themselves with this dark energy, it's going to pull themselves down, isn't it?
Absolutely. So one of the things that's kind of interesting in the records that we do is that when people have a bunch of energies or entities, attachments, or they feel dark energy around them, even though they're trying to walk a really nice light path, what I'll often do is go into their Akashic Records in a consultation and we'll ask what soul contracts they have with dark or negative entities from a past life. So what often shows up is a past life where a person maybe was into witchcraft or kind of a dark witchcraft, or they used some dark entities for power, and they vowed or they made a contract with those entities to, you know, kind of always support the dark energy. And so those entities show up in their lives now. So we can actually break some of those old past life contracts. So when I do energy healing for, you know, dark energies or entities or mm-hmm. things that are bothering people, that's where I find one of the greatest ways to really release that is to go into the past life contracts with the entity.
When you get this feeling of someone's Akashic Records, are they all different from people? I don't mean the specific events of somebody's life, but I mean, would 10 good people all have similar things in those records?
You know, because we live really hundreds and hundreds of lives, I would say that a lot of similarities, but really what stands out more, George, is that I see the uniqueness in people. So one of the ways that I like to explain it is if you imagined you walked into a castle and there was 10 walls with 10 beautiful hand-woven tapestries, each different. They all may be outdoor scenes, but they're all unique and individual. They're all made by hand. So that's like our souls, made with, you know, hundreds of thousands of threads of lifetimes and information and energies and pathways. And we're all really unique. Even if we have similar life experiences, just like when you look at two siblings in a lifetime, how different those siblings can be. You know, for me, it's been fun. I have identical twins, and even though they're identical, they were, you know, they look exactly alike. They're really different souls, really different energy. From the day they were born, I could see it. So we are really unique, you know, even if we're raised in the same family exactly the same way. We have a soul, you know, desire. There's something that we've come to do, and that uniqueness shines through.
The Akashic Records, of course, also thought the term the Hall of Records as well. A lot of people like Edgar Cayce have been able to tap into this. And, you know, they came up with some pretty profound things. You know, they talked about Atlantis and Lemuria. When you look at it, what has been for you the most dramatic thing that you've learned about the Akashic Records?
That's a great question. You know, for me, I think one of the things that's been really fascinating is when the Akashic Masters told me that I was a very galactic soul, that I've been a real galactic traveler, and that they wanted to give me Akashic Record access prayers to help other kind of star seeds, galactic beings, access their records with ease. So I got to kind of energetically remember and travel to some of these kind of places or dimensions or planes, you know, like the Pleiades or Sirius or Arcturus or, you know, these different worlds when they gave me these prayers and they gave me some information around them. So that was very, very profound. And then it was very fun to see past lives that I've had, like with my little dog, who is a great little warrior pup. And so we start to see how we've spent, you know, times and lives in other places or dimensions with some of our pets, that they really have been with us for way longer than one lifetime.
Well, these travels through this galactic realm, is it physical or is it something that you're doing, you know, in the conscious realm? Subconscious realm.
Yeah, no, it's very much in the expansive consciousness. So to me, when I open the records for myself and I ask them questions, or I'm working with a client and I'm opening their records and I'm going very deep into past lives and information, and I see lots of pictures, I get a lot of kind of they tell me stories, there's the intuitive knowingness, so I receive information kind of in all ways, clairsentient, clairaudient, clairvoyant. So it can feel kind of real, but obviously I'm sitting put in my chair, you know, and I often have my eyes open, so a lot of what I'm even seeing, I'm seeing in my mind's eye. But I do know that on the astral plane, we often do travel to a lot of these places and dimensions, and that a lot of us really are still, you know, part of the galactic councils and things like that. And so I do see that in the records. I see that as a person's history that's written about in their Akashic records, and I see where that can even play out in their lifetime now.
You believe in reincarnation, I assume, right?
Absolutely.
Does that person who gets reincarnated just simply have a different chapter in their same book, or do they start over with brand new Akashic records?
No, it's one Akashic record. So it would be like you have one big library. you know, and I, you could say you've got one big book with, you know, thousands of chapters, or you could say you've got one big library with thousands
right.
of books. Either way, same thing, same record. It's all the
and
record.
And they're all different souls, different lives, right? That
well,
you've
they're
done?
Different lives, but it's always the same soul, George.
That's
the
right.
thing. Yeah, your soul just goes on, you know, kind of
yep.
through infinity here.
So you may have in this Akashic record, and let's say you've got 20 lives, you'll have 20 different entries for each life. Some could be good, some could be bad, but they'll be all under one heading. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. Because that soul that is your soul does it all. Not only do we live on other planets, we have, you know, positive lives, negative lives here on planet Earth. We sometimes even go and live in the angelic realm,
mm-hmm.
or maybe we want to be live in the elemental realm. We're working with our dear Mother Earth, and we're in more in the kind of fairy elemental realms. So we really do so much, and it really is written about also in our records. So we can ask those kind of questions like, have I been something else or lived someplace else, or what kind of gifts do I have from there? So a lot of people, say, on the Earth right now have contracts with Mother Earth. Our dear planet Earth, of course, is a conscious, sentient being herself, and she's awakening. She's actually becoming enlightened. So we're kind of along for a wild ride as the earth underneath our feet becomes enlightened. So we learn about that in the Akashic records also. If I ask about that, I can get information about, you know, that sometimes when I ask specific questions. And I see a lot of people who are here right now on Earth helping the planet, trying to help, you know, save humanity and make life better for all of us.
And I assume every entry of every life in one person's book should be better and better and better in terms of who they are as, you know, individuals in the cosmos.
You know, it would be interesting. It would be nice if it worked that way, but honestly, I don't see it working that way. So some of it has to do with the energy of the planet when we come here. So we were literally way more enlightened and awake back in the days of Lemuria and
Atlantis. Well, yeah, but I've always thought, though, Lisa, that, you know, reincarnation was perfection, which meant yeah. that, you know, life number one, but life number two was better than one. Life number three was better than number two, on and on and on. It sounds like you're saying that there are occasional bumps in the road.
Well, it's much more circular because we come, maybe you have a lifetime in which you were very enlightened. Maybe you were a spiritual teacher back in, you know, 5000 BC, and then things got a little rocky. So the next birth was not as easy. Maybe there was a lot of warring in the world you were born into. And so now that life was not a great enlightened spiritual teacher life. Now it's more about being the warrior and trying to save your family. So they're different. You know, one is not particularly better than the other. They're all about the learning, growing process.
Okay, now to the phones we go as they line up for you, Lisa. Steve is truck driving somewhere in Maine. Steve, you're on with Lisa Barnett. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
I don't know if it's, you might have actually kind of answered it already, but I was just wondering, you're saying that we lead many lives throughout time and space or whatever, up to 800. And my question is, do we keep the same genetic stamp throughout all of these different lives going through time? And if not, how do they keep record of, you know, each one of these? I mean, you would have millions and millions of different records if, you know, just going throughout time and space.
Or billions, okay? Thanks, Stephen. Or billions of records. How do they keep track of all this? Huh?
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, you know, because the way that I understand it, the way they show it to me, is probably a little almost more simplistic. So I see the soul as this one energy. So it's a big energy, but it's one soul. And so when we come into a human body, not all of the soul comes in. As a matter of fact, sometimes our soul is doing more than one thing at a time. So I actually even sometimes see one soul having two lives, maybe in a parallel universe. So the genetic stamp I get is more connected to the physical body you're in and not as much to the soul. So the soul has one blueprint, but the physical, when it comes into a physical body, it's merging with the physical body's genetics and its blueprints. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. In some respect, but you would think that with all these different possible souls that are out there, that there'd be some crossing of these records, but who knows? Life is strange all by itself, so
this is possible. It's complicated when you start going in the records and all the lives we've had and all the contracts and karma and things we've done. It's pretty complicated because we've been so many different people. And sometimes it'll be funny, like sometimes a person will pick a family, like a genetic family lineage, because say a couple of generations ago, you were the grandfather, you were the man in the family, and you had a bunch of children, and you loved that kind of physical lineage. You loved the health and the fortitude, the strength, the vitality that was in that physical body, in that genetics of that body. And so two or three lives later, you're born back into that same genetic family. So if you think about it, that means that you would have been your very own great-great-grandfather.
Let's go to Skype caller Hank in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hi, Hank. Go ahead.
Come aboard, Captain Nuri.
Yes, sir. Good to have you with us, Hank.
Hey, great to be on, and great show tonight, George. And Lisa, I'm going to be looking up your work online. I really like what I've been hearing. Maybe you could help me with a few questions. Me, myself, I've always been told I'm an old soul, and I've always felt like I was an old soul. I'm 28 years old, and I haven't been able to really fit in and find my niche yet in life. I know I'm supposed to do good. I know I'm supposed to use the tools that I have. You know, I'm eloquent, articulate, I'm naturally curious, and I just don't know where my talents are supposed to be. I've been in politics, and I felt helpless in politics. I haven't been able to enact enough change, but, I got to pay my bills. I'm getting to my 30s. I'm not sure if I should be more serious about my career, or should I continue in politics, or perhaps another path to influence. I'll take my answer off there. Thanks, folks.
All right. Now, how do you help somebody like Hank?
Thanks, Hank. That's a great question. So I'm just going to preface this by saying I have not opened Hank's specific Akashic Records, but I'm in the vibration of the group. We did that little process, so hopefully people felt that energy raise. What I'm hearing about you, Hank, is that not only are you an old soul, you're really quite a bit of a galactic traveler yourself, a bit of a star being. And part of what you've come to do is to help I'm going to say create something new. And so politics can be a very good way to do that. It's about creating the new earth, creating better communities, better ways of doing things. And so what they're saying is you're young yet. You'll live a very long life. But caring, focusing on being of service, helping to create new, whatever it is, jobs in your community or new services in your community. That's what they're saying a lot of your soul purpose is about. So
all right, Lisa, we're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking to an expert in the paranormal. Then we'll go into our Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines. Hey, by the way, get up to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Take a look at the highlight reel, my next events in August. I'm going to Edinburgh, Texas for a major conference. And then back to Toronto for our live stage show event, and tickets there are going crazy, but they've got some left, so take advantage of it. And, of course, we'll always do the meet and greet afterwards. So just go to coasttocoastam.com. Welcome back to Coast, Lisa Barnett with us. Lisa, take a moment, give us your website, because you've got training programs there. You're giving away a few free gifts. What do you have going for us?
Absolutely. So AkashicKnowing.com is my main website, A-K-A-S-H-I-C-K-N-O-W-I-N-G, AkashicKnowing.com. You can see about classes, home study, live here in the Bay Area, all sorts of information, all about the consultations, if you want an Akashic reading and healing, all there at AkashicKnowing.com. And if you'd like some more information and some free gifts about the Akashic Records, TheInfiniteWisdom.com is the place to go. So there's three free gifts there for you. And if people are interested in the infinite wisdom of the Akashic Records, my new book, that link is there too. So TheInfiniteWisdom.com will get you some free gifts.
We like free things. We like free things. So, you know, back to reincarnation for a moment, because I have always been a believer that if you do reincarnate, it's a moment of perfection. You keep coming back until you get better. So a murderer on his second life, maybe he's not a murderer, but maybe he robs cars. And then on his third life, he gets a little better and better. And maybe by the 20th life, that soul has gotten cleaner and better. And, you know, it's just a chronological, it's like going up a stairway as you go up, 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 and up. What do you think about that, that theory?
You know, I wouldn't argue with you, George, because that may actually be the way your soul has traveled. And again, we're all such unique souls that what I see is very often a very kind of spinning conglomeration of lives. And I really see that we have hundreds, not just, you know, 10 or 20, but hundreds and hundreds here. So, you know, sometimes we'll be in a war and we'll get killed, and in another lifetime, we end up as the warrior. So that's kind of the karmic path of doing both sides, playing both sides of a coin. So like I say, sometimes we might be really spiritual, and then in the next life, you know, we're being healed and awakened by the spiritual teacher. So I see it a little bit more flip-floppy, but, you know, it's all just perfect divine timing. So however it works out for each soul, I think is just the way it's supposed to work out for that soul.
Okay, we go to the phones now for our final segment here with Lisa Barnett. Michael in Albany, New York. You're on the air, Michael. Go ahead.
Thank you, George. Hello, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Hi, Michael.
I'm happy to hear you on a subject that I'm very deep into.
Very good.
Last lifetime, I was my 962 lifetime in this sector. I'm now in my 963. And I was the tiger cub at that time, and now I'm supposed to become the tiger. But I came in the past 2 years and made the change, the reincarnation, without dying physically. That I was walking across the heavens with my guardian, and I chose to jump back onto the earth. Now, I'm suffering from the end cycle of dialysis. All my organs are on the edge of quitting, and I'm supposed to live a longer life. And I'm wondering, what did I do wrong?
Well, that's an interesting take, and you should have been listening to Dr. Joel Wallach, too, in our first segment, because he might have been able to help you. But people who are sick or have illnesses, it's not a punishment, Lisa, is it?
No, absolutely not. I don't get that it's a punishment at all. I do, you know, there's a whole, again, combination. So usually in the Akashic Records, there's not one answer, but three, four, or five, because we're so kind of multi-dimensional and, you know, we're complex. We're ancient and complex beings. So sometimes it has to do with the genetics of the body that we chose. Sometimes it's because we really want to be able to heal ourselves and teach that to someone else. So many of us go through different illnesses and learn and grow and then go on to, you know, be healers. Some souls really do the walk-in thing. So sometimes souls change bodies without, I'm going to say, kind of without dying. It's a little bit different. You know, we're going from being like a conscious soul to being a conscious soul without having to get born again. So, you know, it sounds like that was the experience that he had. So it's really a variety. But what I'm hearing in the records is that it's not something that you did wrong. There's some part of your soul that's made a different choice. And sometimes we think consciously, I made this choice and this is what I'm doing. But our souls can change their minds also. Again, nothing is written in stone.
We now go to Linda Marie in Medford, Oregon. Hi, Linda. Go ahead.
Hello. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Good to have you with us.
Hi, I'd just like to know what my records say, please.
Well, sweetheart, I don't really have enough time to sit down and open your records and do a reading for you on the show, I'm sorry to say. But what I do get is that you have just a tremendous amount of lives in the angelic realm. You've been an angel many, many, many times, and that
That's
expresses
good.
In your life today.
Can you tell when you meet somebody, Lisa, what they're like in terms of a person because of your experience and exposure with the Akashic Records?
You know, George, I'm human, so... yes and no. What I notice is that because I spend so much time in this very multidimensional world of the Akashic Records, I, as a kind of a person, as a human, tend to be much more multidimensional. So I receive lots and lots of information in all levels and ways. And the Akashic Masters speak to me, and sometimes they'll guide me in a different direction or warn me about something or suggest I go over and meet someone. So, you know, I do get a lot of information, even though I'm not in someone's record specifically, just because I'm kind of in that expansive vibration all the time. So, yeah.
All right, let's go to Kareem in Silver Lake, California, first-time caller. Welcome to the program, Kareem.
Hi, you're a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I got to say the first hour, 2 hours are amazing, and this hour with Linda, I was just really wondering about, she talks about dimensions. I was wondering about what dimension we are in now and what dimension angels live in, and if she can tell me that I'm actually related to someone who's been in a certain power of authority, because I kind of feel that. And it's just my energy. Sometimes when I meet people, I give them some really, really good energy and really bad energy.
Ah, both ways. That's unusual. Sometimes it's one or the other, but not a mixture. But can you answer his question about dimensions at all?
You know, it's kind of an interesting question. I see them more layered. I don't think I relate to them as much. What I see us flipping around in is kind of the third, fourth, even sometimes into the fifth dimension right now. So I see a lot of people spending a lot of time in the fourth and fifth dimension. I'm starting to see a lot of people actually where we're meeting on the astral plane. So we're kind of starting to create more expansive, multidimensional lives where we're having these very vivid astral travels and dreams. So that's the way I see it. I see a lot of the world still stuck very much in the 3D, very much in the drama and the trauma, and that's that three-dimensional. I see a lot of the spiritual people living mostly in the fourth dimension, much more expansive, loving, heart-centered. Mm-hmm. And then we're bridging to the fifth, absolutely. And what I'm getting about the energy for you is that because you're very clairsentient and you're so feeling, you're such an open feeling soul, that you're sensitive to all of those energies, and sometimes you're actually clearing some old karma really instantaneously with that kind of positive negative hit. Does that make sense?
But how does someone have that ability, though, to be positive and negative almost at the same time? That's unusual, isn't it?
You know, I think in most lifetimes we tend to be more one way or another. But again, because we're these ancient expansive souls, we sometimes will flare up with like a past life karma that's time to become aware of, to recognize, to clear, release. And that may show up as a kind of a negative energy. It may show up in a different sort of way. And sometimes we're blowing through some old karma, and sometimes we're literally getting triggered by someone from a past life. Maybe this person had done him wrong in a past life, so he feels all of this negative energy. It may show up as anger or dislike even.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's because we really have a lot more memory than we think we do of other lifetimes and other connections.
Edward is in Wyckoff, New Jersey now. Welcome to the program, Edward.
I'm familiar with the Akashic record from Edgar Casey, whom I much respect. One of my concerns have been the true purpose of this present life now and how to acquire financial independence to realize it. I'd like to know how I can also contact you by telephone. I'd like to learn how to read the records myself.
Okay, well, I would, one, get to her website, as you can contact Lisa there, akashicknowing.com. So make sure you're part of that. And in terms of your recommendations on how someone can generate wealth, I recommend he cut a deal with Lucifer. Just kidding. But I don't know.
Well, you know what I do is there's a lot of layers of information. So the Akashic Masters have literally given me a dozen healing prayers to help people clear some old karma, to move into a place of forgiveness, to align with your soul purpose, to really expand into the energy of your abundance. And so there's a lot of that information when I do teach a class, and when I do one-on-one consultations for people, of course, if that's your interest, what we do is go through all these different layers, which will be past life traumas and vows, different karma that holds you back from creating abundance, different ancestral beliefs, even childhood beliefs, energy programs, et cetera, et cetera. So layer after layer, all around you and money and your own abundance. So that's what I do in the healing work in kind of a one-on-one Akashic reading session with somebody.
And our numbers lady, Glynis McCants, recommends put a number 8 in your wallet, Edward, and that will generate some new riches for you. Some people have done that, Lisa, and they would get inheritances and things like that. Strange how these things work, isn't it?
You know, it is, but I'm a great fan of numerology, and I know that 8 is also a wonderful number for abundance. And
yeah.
So, absolutely, it's pretty profound, you know, so many different little ways to move the energy in our life.
Susan in Sacramento, California now. Hi, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hi, you guys. It's nice to talk to you. I was just wondering a little bit if you could tell me a little bit about me. I feel I have a good life, but a very challenged life. Do you see anything like that?
You know, what I'm hearing is that as a soul, you have come to do quite a bit of work, which I would say is about clearing old karma, finishing old contracts, and kind of moving forward in a big leaping sort of way. So for a lot of times that might show up as challenges in your life. Sometimes that's the family that you don't really get along with or doesn't treat you very well, you don't resonate with, etc. So you create a good life because you're a powerful soul, but you're also finishing a lot of karma, so that can show up as the challenges. That's the way I'm hearing it.
Lisa, here's the strange question. Are animals in an Akashic Book of Records?
You know, they are. They have their own records, too. So
I knew it. So the dog, the cat, the turtle, the fish, they all have something, or just what we would consider to be the higher up plane of an animal?
You know, interestingly, they do. You know, I've never kind of looked into the records of a fish. I don't know that they're as deep or as expansive, but certainly I've looked in the Akashic records of my pets. I've got a cat and a dog. I do Akashic reading for some people and their pets, if their pets give permission. So I have to first ask the pet's soul if I have permission to open their records before I do that. So it's pretty interesting. And what we find is that many of our pets have been with us in other lives or other dimensions.
Mike's in Wyoming. Welcome to the program, Michael. Let's get you in here.
All right. Lisa, I have a question for you.
Yes. What can I do for you, Michael?
I have tried doing astral projection for years, and I've never been successful. What's the trick to doing it?
Oh, and that is tough. I had it happen once, Lisa, when I was 11 years old. I've never been able to duplicate it either, in spite of all the wonderful guests I've had on the program who've given me tips and techniques. I would recommend for you, Michael, you've got to have great relaxation, and it's easier right before your dream state, right before you fall asleep, to kind of like detach yourself from your body. But any techniques there, Lisa?
Well, you know, when I access the Akashic Records, I don't use that technique. I do it kind of, you know, eyes wide open, really conscious. So I don't really tend to do that myself. Sorry, I can't give you more tools, but it's a pretty amazing that you can access your Akashic Records completely consciously, so you don't even need to astral travel so much.
Lisa, are you happy with your Akashic Records?
You know, George, yes, I guess I would say I am. I've got to say, I've had some nasty, gory old lives in there, but I've also been an Akashic Record keeper in the past, which is why I have such a strong connection to, and they have asked me to help bring this information back to humanity. So, you know, it's all good.
All right, Lisa's website, akashicknowing.com, is linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Lisa, thanks for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Thank you, George. It's been a great pleasure.
And, of course, our next program, it's our Friday night into Saturday morning show. Make sure you're part of it. We'll have those special open lines. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.